0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, with domestic and European football very much on the minds. Rangers see off Hearts with a 4-0 win and are now in Liverpool ahead of tomorrow's Champions League clash at Anfield. Celtic are still top after a 2-1 win against Motherwell and get set to head for Leipzig. And there were big wins for St Mirren, St Johnstone, Aberdeen and Hibs in another incident-packed weekend in Scottish football. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
And the season that keeps giving is just about to take us to another level. A battle of Britain at Anfield tomorrow night. Liverpool versus Rangers in a competitive contest for the first time ever. Celtic head to Germany to take on RB Leipzig. An RB Leipzig side who look reborn under Marco Rosa. And then on Thursday, the Jambos looking to bounce back after the defeat to Rangers. They've only got Fiorentina to take on. I think they need to recall the man to my left.
It's good to see you. It would have been another easy phone-in sick night for you, but you're here. You're a trooper. You carried on.
Yeah, unfortunate events at Tynecastle, if we can call it that. But no time to feel sorry for yourself in football. As Roger says, a massive game on Thursday night against Italian giants in Fiorentina. So a game we're looking forward to, that's for sure.
Call off. All that's happened is he's lost 4-0 to Rangers. It's not as if he's got mouth ulcers.
That's true. No, not like one of his esteemed colleagues on this show that will remain nameless for now. But across the board, Andy, away from Tynecastle, another busy weekend. And my goodness, what a week we've got in store as well.
Yep, that Japanese connection again at Celtic Park. Plenty of talking points as always on a Monday night that we're looking forward to. And you know, the small matter of some European football to look forward to tomorrow and the rest of the week.
And even some midweek Premiership fixtures as well. There's a big week coming up for Scotland women's team. There is so much to get through. So come on, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Let's put you two on the spot first of all. Can't wait to hear Andy Halliday's nominations. Result of the weekend, Roger?
Sorry, Andy. It has to be Hearts now. Yeah. Rangers 4.
He was going to say that one, but you've just stolen it off him.
Yeah, after everything that had come before for Rangers, run of defeats, an unconvincing win against Dundee United at Ibrox. This was a big performance by Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's side and a big result. If you can go to the side that's third in the league last season, cup finalist last season, Conference League competitors this season, and win 4-0, that's a good day at the office.
I'm going to go St Mirren. I don't think many people will be tipping them for third spot so far in the season at the start. And listen, they were going against a Livingston side that were off the back of back-to-back wins as well. So no surprises to see they won, but you've got to say they're high flying at the moment.
Good choices this weekend. Goal of the weekend. What tickled your fancy, Andy?
I'll go with Hatate. Great strike. I think we've seen a few instances of that from this season. We've seen him in the Real Madrid game. We've seen it in the first half at Celtic Park of the weekend again. And he's caught that one sweet in a game where Celtic needed it.
Roger?
Certainly a smashing goal by Hatate. I think... sorry, Andy.
He's rubbing it.
There's a bit of a theme developing here.
Probably Ryan Kent. And it's not because Kenny Miller told me to say so after the stick he's been getting, but he's praised for Ryan Kent. It was nicely worked. Good finish beyond Craig Gordon. The game was gone by then anyway, but a nice way for Rangers to finish the game. And a week when Ryan Kent is going back to Anfield, it'll probably raise his confidence after 22 games without a goal.
Okay, this is where it gets a bit more exciting. Let's be honest. Goals and 3 points. Let's talk about the real stuff. Howler of the weekend. There were a few.
Sorry, Andy.
Oh, my God.
He's at it.
It needs to be Cammy Devlin, doesn't it? A horrendous challenge on Robbie Matondo. A straight red card. Andy will tell you, Hearts a 2-0 down at this time were convinced they were going to come back to a 2-2 draw or a 3-2 win. But I think once they went down to 10 men, that was the moment that the game went to Rangers.
Andy's going to do his best. No comment on that. We'll get something out in between now and 8 o'clock.
Oh no, I'll comment. I'm going to go Sean Kelly. You know, his brother's a good friend of mine. It might be a wee dig at the Kelly family for a good laugh, but nah, it's a chance from 12 yards to get yourself back into the game. And I mean, that was a couple of yards at least over the bar.
And can I just say, on any other week of this season, Joseph Juranovic,
I was going to say, you two have
chesting it past Joe Hart, he can get a notable mention.
Right, okay, we'll throw a third one in there. And individual performer of the weekend to round us off.
I saw myself up at Dingwall for Super Scoreboard at the weekend. Ryan Portis,
he started
his week in Krakow. Fantastic performance for Scotland on his debut against the Ukraine. and back, and was just terrific from start to finish. A clean sheet and his first goal of the season for Hibs, and he dedicated it all to his new Cavapoo called Pablo.
What a night you're having, Andy Halliday. You're in here on the back of a 4-0 defeat and listening to Hibs. Ryan Porteous getting all the praise
some
from
start,
Johanna.
I was waiting for a full house for Mr. Roger as well, with a cholak or something coming in there. I
can only look up for you, right? Who caught your eye individually?
Oh, I was between two, I'm going to be honest with you, Gordon, but I've just dead Stevie May. I think he's back to being the Stevie May that we remember from a few years ago. Started scoring goals again, he's full of confidence, and I think his overall impact in the game, I thought he was a constant nuisance to Dundee United. And a goal and assist, big victory for St Johnson.
This could barely be busier for a Monday. We had six games on Saturday in the top flight, so let's look back on them and look ahead to the teeny tiny matter of Liverpool against Rangers at Anfield in the Champions League tomorrow. You know the number, but if for some reason you've forgotten it, it's 0141 951 1025. What did you make of your team's performance at the weekend, Rangers fans? Was that the best performance of the season? What about Antonio Colak? Does he now play for sure at the start against Liverpool? Morelos did come on and score. Can you make a case for him? Ben Davies played, Alan McGregor was in goal. Hearts, Liverpool, whatever you want, pick up the phone. Celtic fans, it clearly wasn't a sparkling performance. Does that bother you at all, or was it just a day of missed chances? You take the 3 points and you move on. Leipzig coming up round the corner as well. St Mirren fans, are you the third force in Scottish football? Let's hear from everyone out there. 0141 951 1025. Andrew McLean is in Liverpool. He's been speaking to Jurgen Klopp and Giovanni van Bronckhorst, and now he's stuck with Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. What's been happening down there, Andrew?
Yeah, it's quite a fall from grace, isn't it? But Roger mentioned it. It is hard to believe that this is the first ever competitive match between Liverpool and Rangers, and it should be a really good game tomorrow night. A historic ground as well. I've been walking about the place. Every inch of this stadium is covered in memorabilia of European Cup wins, trophy wins. There's faces of legends plastered all over the walls, none more so than Steven Gerrard, as you'd expect. But it's not about what's gone before. We all know the situation. Rangers in desperate need of points if they want to be playing European football after Christmas. They've got that -7 goal difference as well after two games, and despite Liverpool not being in the best form they've ever been in, they still get so much quality. But plenty of positives Rangers can take from that game on Saturday against Hearts. It will be a completely different match though, and as I say, points are absolutely vital in this doubleheader against Liverpool. Van Bronckhorst says they're coming to Anfield with the intention of picking up some, but thinks Liverpool are the best side they've faced in his time at the club.
Well, of course, I mean, we lost our first games, and it means we don't have any points, so we know the challenge we face tomorrow against a really, really good side. And, we want to have results, and that's what we have to do. Of course, we have to look at ourselves, but I think we're going to come here to have a good result. That's our intentions, and that always has to be our intention. Well, it's going to be very difficult. It's a team who performed really well in the Premier League. They were in three finals last 5 years. It's, I think, still one of the best teams in Europe. So if you look at all our opponents we faced the last season in Europe, and also this season, probably this is the strongest side.
Some big decisions made at the weekend, Andrew, which maybe feeds into the debate about who plays or who doesn't play tomorrow evening. What else was on the manager's mind?
Yeah, well, there was actually a bit of an injury bombshell that was dropped by Giovanni van Bronckhorst. We know that Tom Lawrence has been out. We know that he was on his way back from injury, but he sustained a fresh injury and now won't be back until after the World Cup, which is a huge blow because, he looked dangerous in his first few games. He looked as if he was going to be a regular starter for Giovanni van Bronckhorst's side, but this just adds to the injury issues they've got. Suter and Hellander, they're both out until after the World Cup break as well. Kamar Roof, he was pictured back in training today, but he's not fit enough for this game yet. And remember, James Sands is suspended for this game tomorrow night too. So big decisions for Giovanni van Bronckhorst. That probably means that there's going to be a starting spot for former Liverpool man Ben Davies, who wasn't able to make an impact in his time here. But one position that we know for certain of who's going to start tomorrow is in goal, and that's because van Bronckhorst has confirmed that Alan McGregor will be their starting goalkeeper going forward.
Well, I don't like to talk about number one and number two. That's what I didn't do with the start of the season when John started. John started the season, and I think the performances Alan had in the last couple of games were really good, and so he will continue in the goal. Of course, I had to inform both players, which I done last week, but you know, we all have one thing in mind, is to be, you know, successful for this club, and the decisions for me to make and for both players to accept.
It's quite the level of opposition, Andrew, and I know you spoke to Jurgen Klopp as well earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has been said about Liverpool, especially down here over the past few weeks, and how they've been performing. They've only got two wins from their opening seven games in the Premier League this season. They had that big defeat to Napoli in their opening Champions League match, but Alisson, Van Dijk, Thiago, Salah, I could go on, I could name so many more world-class players and world-class talent that this Liverpool team have. You'd think they'll feel confident of coming here and picking up 3 points tomorrow, especially seeing Rangers' previous two group stage results. But Jurgen Klopp, speaking to him earlier, says he doesn't expect Rangers to be vulnerable tomorrow night and reckons that those results will actually make them even more up for the fight.
Good football team, well coached, exceptional European season last year, obviously. Qualifying for the Champions League, big achievement. And yeah, saw obviously the last game against Hearts. So more games, but now especially the last one. And really good football team. And that's what we have to prepare for. And the team who have had results now, they didn't want. So that's what they wanna change, definitely. So we expect a proper fight, a real fight, to be honest, and that's what we prepared for.
Thank you, Andrew McLean. Over to you, Rangers fans. 01419511025. How do you feel listening to that? There is a lot to get through. Alan McGregor is the new, well, the new back to being the number one, I should say. Is that the right call? It looks like certainly Ben Davies will play. Does Antonio Colak keep his place after his two goals? And no Tom Lawrence, out injured until after the World Cup. What do you make of that news? 01419511025. Let's hear from you. Graham is first up. How do you feel about tomorrow night, Graham?
I look forward to it, but I don't really expect much. See, before the draw was made, Gordon, you were saying, do you want glamour or do you want a ties you can win?
Yeah.
Well, see, when you get glamour, that's what happens to you, mate. You don't get nothing out of it. So I'm really looking forward to the game. Not expecting much, but it'll be a good experience for the boys.
I mean, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will be hoping it's more than a good experience, Andy.
Yeah.
You take Graham's point that it can happen to you in the Champions League, but for the players and the manager, it's not an overnight stay to go and enjoy their surroundings. They need to go and try and do something in the football game.
Yeah, listen, Dortmund's glamour, Leipzig's glamour, Porto's glamour. This is teams that have been in the Champions League for a number of years now. And listen, we all knew that when Group A was drawn in a couple of weeks ago now, that Rangers were going to have a work cut out. But especially after the first couple of games, I think it's, listen, if there was any doubt about the step up in class between the Europa League and Champions League, I think Rangers conceded 16 goals in 17 Europa League games last year, and already they've conceded 7-2 in the Champions League. So certainly a step up in class in terms of opposition. Liverpool not having it all their own way as well domestically. I think there's areas that Rangers will look at and realise they can maybe get a bit of joy. But, you know, in terms of the overall prospect of the group, if Rangers don't take anything out of the game tomorrow, which is, you know, certainly going to be difficult, I don't think there's any possibility of getting anything out of it.
I mean, Roger, where is the balance between Graham's assessment that this is glamour and I'm not expecting much and just a good experience because it's Liverpool, but also a Liverpool team that aren't flying at the moment and who saw Brighton get a draw at the weekend? You know, does that give Rangers fans any encouragement?
Yeah, it's bound to give them some encouragement. Then, listen, these are the games you want. You know, if you're a Rangers supporter, in 30 years' time, you don't tell the grandkids, I remember that night we beat Scoopy, or that night we played against Ufa. You know, Rangers fans...
I will.
That was a highlight of Andy's European endeavours.
That's separate. Andy was a player as well as a player.
Right.
You know.
And once he beats Fiorentina on Thursday, it'll get taken over.
Exactly. In 30 years' time, he'll tell the grandkids about the night he played against Fiorentina.
I thought you were going to make a beat the pundit joke there.
No,
but anyway.
No, not at all. That's what you want. They want to tell people, you know, I was at Anfield that night. I was at Ibrox when Liverpool came to town, and they had Mo Salah and they had Thiago and they had Virgil van Dijk, and you know, it was a great night. Rangers they've sort of ticked the Europa League box, if you like, by going all the way to the final in Seville last year. They were ready as a team, ready as a club for the Champions League, and they want to now prove they're ready as a team for the Champions League groups by getting one. You know, I don't think they're going to get through the group. Of course, I'm not. You know, they've lost the first two games 7-0 on aggregate, but they want a statement result, and they will think and believe that Anfield could be the venue for them to get that statement result. The same as Celtic would love a statement result in the Bernabeu.
It's hard to enjoy the glamour though, Graham, when you lose heavily, isn't it? That's just the way football works.
I during the game, but after it, it's all right. You realise what you're up against. You're quite just, I mean, you're talking about Salah, Thiago, that other boy on the left, and where have you got, you know what I mean? Yeah. Ryan Jack and guys like that, you know what I mean?
No offence, Ryan, if you're listening, by the way. But no Andy Robertson, incidentally. Roger, it would have been nice, it would have been an extra theme to this story, this rivalry that's going to take place for the first time tomorrow, but the Scotland captain won't make it.
No, he won't. He's still out with the injury that kept him out those three Nations League games. But it is interesting to listen to Jurgen Klopp today. You know, he was speaking about Andy Robertson, speaking about Calvin Ramsey, who he signed from Scotland in the summer, speaking about Ben Doak, who he signed from Scotland in the summer, speaking, you heard them saying to Andrew McLean there, he watched the Hearts Rangers game, even watched long enough to see Andy coming on at the weekend, you know.
That header wide in the second half, said he loved it.
Just the audio cut there before Jurgen said he should have got it on target. So he knows about Scottish football. He watches Scottish football. Before he was at Liverpool, he was manager of Borussia Dortmund. And he watched Borussia Dortmund last season lose 4 at home to Rangers. So he knows all about Rangers. And, you know, there's a degree of respect there too.
What about some of those big talking points that the manager covered, Andy? We'll get through them in depth, I'm sure, but quickly on that injury front, Tom Lawrence out until after the World Cup.
Yeah, not ideal. I think we spoke about it on the show as well. You look at the summer signings that have been drafted in the summer, you feel as if him and Tillman were the ones that were making a real impact. Scored a key goal, obviously, against USG in the qualifying. So it's a blow. I think that area, that sort of wide right of the front three, we talk about it ever so often with Rangers, it looked as if he was the one that was sort of nailed down in that spot. But yeah, it's very unfortunate he's missing after the World Cup
break. Three goals in three games. I think it was St Johnstone, then that big one against PSV, and then that header at Easter Road, and that was a very good team goal.
That was a great goal, yeah.
There in the 6-yard box to finish it. He will be a loss to me.
I think regarding the next talking point, it's been heavily talked about in this show, and yeah, for me the time had came. I've said it before, I think Al McGregor should have started the season as number one. After the game at Celtic Park, it actually looked as if, you know, Gio had almost gave him that sort of vote of confidence. But whatever happened, whether he missed it with illness, was it, leading up to that Napoli game? And listen, you're talking about a performance and a 3-0 defeat, but Al McGregor was sensational that night.
I think a lot of people would just nod in agreement at Andy's take on that, Roger, that Al McGregor deserves to be number one. He now is number one. Shrug the shoulders, who cares? But if you're John McLaughlin, let's remind us of how it went bit by bit. He was still backed after the Celtic game. He was backed by the manager. He then wasn't to blame, really, for the Ajax game. And as Andy says, he then misses a couple through injury and illness, and he's out the team. So that backing by Giovanni Van Bronckhorst probably doesn't mean very much to him now.
No, I'd agree with that. But I think everything Andy says is correct. I've said from day one, when John McLaughlin was in the side to take on Livingston, John McLaughlin was not the best goalkeeper at Rangers. Alan McGregor's the best goalkeeper at Rangers. And whatever way Giovanni Van Bronckhorst went to find that fact out again, he has realised that fact.
So what a blessing in disguise then, that John McLaughlin got injured or fell ill. Is the decision falling onto the manager's lap?
I don't know how he came to that decision, but I think he's come to the decision. And listen, the last two or three weeks, and Andy will tell you, Craig Gordon has rightly been showered with praise for his performances for club and for country. He's not much younger than Alan McGregor. So all this chat about the age of Alan McGregor, it's maybe a red herring. I saw David Marshall keep a clean sheet at Dingwall at the weekend. He's not in the first flush either. And sometimes these goalkeepers can go on and play at a very, very high level longer than you would expect them to.
Graham, what do you make of that? The manager there, you know, speaking quite openly and saying that's Alan McGregor back in and playing going forward. Are you happy with that? How do you feel about that situation?
He should have always been number one. But see, the other point I was going to make, I think Morella should play Ramora.
Oh, right, okay. I'm interested in that. He dropping Colak after 4 goals in his last 2 games?
He's a penalty box striker, mate. We're not going to win a penalty box that much. We need to keep Morella to hold it in. He can win you free kicks and throw ins and corners. Big Colak doesn't do that. He's just a goal scorer. 18 yard box, but I don't think we'll get that much of the ball up there.
So. What if you get one chance, though? Colak not the man to take it?
Morelos could take, he's a good finisher.
I like that. Graham's just dropped a bombshell on us. We're late for the break, but we've got to keep that going.
Oh, well, listen, I think it's a fair point.
Can you drop Colak?
I don't think he will, But I do think it's a fair point. I do think he is more suited to this game. I think he can buy you fills, get you up the pitch, can be a ball carrier, can run the channels. But listen, Colak, 11 goals in 14 games. I mean, in terms of a penalty box striker, he's very good at it. So it would be extremely harsh if he didn't play the game. But I mean, I do agree with the point.
I get the logic as well. But I mean, how much better suited would you need to be to drop a guy that's scoring at that rate?
Which is why I do think Colak will play. But I do see the point, and I've mentioned it so many times. I always feel as if it's the stage that Alfredo Morelos thrives on. I just feel like that lone target man role in a game where pretty much your backs are going to be up against the wall for large periods of it. You need someone that has physical prowess, someone that can hold the ball up. Like I said, when your fills get you up the pitch, I don't think Colak has quite the same effect. But listen, I do think he'll play. I think his form's been great.
Graham wants to see Alfredo Morelos play and Colak dropped from the team tomorrow. What do you think, Rangers fans? 01419511025. We'll get your answer next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday's still here. He had a rough weekend, but we've locked the door. He's still here alongside Roger Hanna on 01419511025. Let's bring in Gordon and Airdrie. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow, Gordon?
Yeah, I think it's probably the best time to get Liverpool. If there ever is a good time to get them, I think their confidence is low. Rangers will have to beat their best, obviously. But I watched the game yesterday with Brighton, and I thought Brighton actually could have won the game quite easily. So I think Liverpool's confidence is definitely low, and I would definitely play Morelos because I think it would give Van Dijk an absolute nightmare and get the team up the park. Maybe bring Colak on later on in the game. But I would definitely start with Morelos. I don't know what the guys think about that.
Let's get to that one in a second, Andy. I'm keen to get your thoughts on the overall challenge because you can just hear both sides, come on, this is Liverpool, and you rhyme off all the world-class talent. But after 8 games, which is an okay sample size, they are 9th in the English Premier League. They have only won twice. They did draw with Brighton at the weekend and maybe could have lost the game, as Gordon says. How tough do you rate this?
Still very tough, but I think if you look at Liverpool's games in isolation, I think there is a constant sort of pattern in terms of the way they concede goals. I think if you look at the Fulham game, the Crystal Palace game at home again at the weekend there against Brighton, there is areas they can be got at. Listen, the attacking talent they've got is there for everyone to see. I think Mo Salah, you're talking about somebody that's arguably been the best player in the world for the last sort of 3 or 4 seasons, but I think with how adventurous they are, the way they play with both fullbacks high and wide, I do think it's really, really important that Rangers play pace in both wide areas. And that's not really something they've done a lot in European football. Quite often you see it's a Scott Arfield or a Malik Tillman on the right-hand side. But I do feel as if there's any chance to be got at, I do look at Rangers potentially having some joy in the counter-attack. But listen...
So after playing at the weekend and being a bit part player up until then... A start for Rabi Matondo at Anfield, is that what you're getting at?
A Rabi Matondo or a Scott Wright, someone that is that direct pace, someone that can be an outball in the counter-attack. And like I said, I do feel as if you're going to get anything in the game, that is the area that they're going to try and exploit.
How do you balance that with them then having to help go the other way?
Well, I do think they should have enough if they play another midfield three in there, whether it is a Ryan Jack, Lundstrom, Davis, or a Lundstrom, Stephen Davis, Scott Arfield. Of course, they need to be pragmatic in the way they approach the game as well, but there's certainly slight weaknesses in that Liverpool team just now.
Will Virgil van Dijk be having sleepless nights about facing Alfredo Morelos?
I would very much doubt it because I'm not sure Morelos will play. If it was up to me, I'd play the same team that won at Tynecastle. So that was Rangers' best performance in some considerable period of time. There's been a lot of chopping and changing in the Rangers team this season, and I would just take the same side. As Andy mentioned, Kent one side, Matondo the other, does gives you pace. And Rangers can't just try and get down there and park the bus. That would be foolish. They need to go and try and, compete in the game, contest the game, and I think they will. And I would like to see Matondo going at Tsimikas on one side and Kent trying to test Trent Alexander-Arnold on the other side because he did look questionable against Brighton. And
He's looked questionable a few times going back the way, hasn't he?
Yeah, very much so. And listen, we can talk all night about Diaz and Firmino and Salah. And yes, they're absolutely wonderful players. But you look at Liverpool, they've drawn with Brighton, Everton, Crystal Palace, Fulham. They haven't won away from home in any competition this season. They even lost to that Manchester United team.
That's very true. I mean, Gordon, they're maybe not in top form, but I mean, he's still Virgil van Dijk, is he not? Or have you got them sort of, really in a bad place at the moment? Gordon, can you hear us? Line's dodgy. Don't know where he's gone. Can you still hear us? Oh, I don't know. He's speaking to producer Chris. Few shouts though for Alfredo Morelos, and you're not totally against the idea.
Like I said, I do think Cholak will play, but I certainly do see the reasoning for it. I mean, Virgil van Dijk though, I don't know if, like you said, someone that's been exceptional for a number of years now in the Premier League, not having a great time of it just now, but certainly not the only one on the Liverpool side. I do think Rangers need to learn lessons of that Ajax game though. When you talk about, you know, Roger mentioned about parking the bus, I think they sort of had that approach in the Ajax game, and when Ajax sort of got into a certain area where Rangers should make a bit of contact, a bit of pressure somewhere in the field, never really happened. And then, you know, when they, in transitions, when they won the ball, never really had an out ball. So throughout the 90 minutes, there was never any chance of a result. So I do think that's something they certainly have to look at and try and tweak going into the game tomorrow.
Gordon, again, if poor Antonio Cholak's listening, there's so many people saying he shouldn't play and Morelos should, and he's probably wondering what he needs to do to get the nod in the eyes of some of the Rangers fans. Then how do you go about dropping him? Is that not unfair after his goal scoring exploits recently?
It kind of is in a way, but I think the way the game will go, I mean, Rangers will not have a lot of possession, as you probably know, and I think like Borussia Dortmund and teams like that, Morelos can get the team up the pitch, and I think that's important. And if they get them up the pitch, I think they've got a chance of getting a couple of goals. If things go well later on, bring Cholak on, but he's not that type of player for me. I mean, for me, Morelos gets the team up the pitch, and that's important, especially against a team like Liverpool.
Do you think him coming on and scoring at the weekend gives him an even better chance, Gordon? You know, if you were talking about a Cholak who's scoring versus a Morelos that's completely unfit, completely lacking match sharpness and completely out of form, it's maybe an easier debate. And so Cholak got two, but do you think the fact that Morelos comes on and gets one maybe gives him a little boost?
I definitely think so. I mean, I'm not having a go at Cholak at all. You know, he's done superbly well for Rangers since he's been here. But I just think the way the game will go and the way the possession will go, you need someone who can get you up the pitch. And I'm not sure Cholak can do that the same as Morelos can.
Well, we'll find out very soon about this time tomorrow, you would imagine. Thank you to Gordon. What about Gary in East Kilbride? What are you thinking, Gary?
I'm also reminded, I think Morelos would be the better choice. Nothing against Cholak. I just think the two of them are different types of strikers. Cholak suits more of a game where you're going to have more of the possession to put the ball in the box for him, whereas Morelos tends to be the out ball in difficult games, and I think that's what we're going to need tomorrow, because I expect us to be under the cosh a bit. I'd said at the weekend when the line-up came out for Saturday, I actually put in a group chat saying I thought Morelos should have started, and then had to eat a bar humble five, and he scored the two goals. My reasoning after it was I expected Hearts to have a bit more pressure on us. I expected to be a bit more balanced, and it obviously turned out to not be the case. And I thought we would need Morelos to get us out when we're under that wee bit of pressure, because he tends to play with his back towards the defenders at times and bring players into the attack when he holds it up. And I definitely think we're going to need that against Liverpool.
It's now at the stage I'm going to have to put a call out for anyone who does think that Cholak deserves to play, because it's one-way traffic at the moment, despite the guy banging in the goals. I mean, Gary said he thought it should have been the other way round, if you like, on Saturday, eight humble pie. When you and your teammates were preparing for the weekend, did you expect to face Cholak? Or did you expect Morelos?
No, we expected it to be Cholak. Yeah. I think especially the domestic form he was in, obviously off the back of a double against Dundee United as well. And he was very good in the game. I think his contribution to the game was obviously there for everyone to see with the two goals. But I think, you know, the striker play for the first goal is great. Obviously anticipates all his ball, plays it out wide, but the desire to get in the box and score goals. So listen, if it's a decision that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst does make to start Alfredo Morelos, it's a very difficult one to tell Antonio Cholak, and it's certainly going to be a headache for him.
Napoli was similar in the sense that he did go for Alfredo Morelos, and it looked like everybody's saying maybe he's better suited to that game, but Cholak scored four times since then. Changes things, I assume.
Both Andy and I banged the drum for Alan McGregor for a long time to get back in the team, and he's back in the team, and he's back in the team because he's Rangers' best goalkeeper. I think if Alfredo Morelos is fit and on his top form, Alfredo Morelos is Rangers' best striker. But there is nothing that I've really seen so far that would convince me that he's at peak fitness and peak form. How do you know him, Andy? How did he look on Saturday?
I thought he looked sharp. I did actually. I thought he looked sharp. Listen, I don't think even when he is at peak fitness, he looks like a perfect athlete. He always looks as if he is carrying a little bit of weight, but you know that comes with game time as well, which I think's something that people don't quite grasp, because he was out for a long period of time when he came back, and they were questioning his, obviously there was attitude issues there as well, I'd imagine, with Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's comments. But I do think game time's important for him, a run in the team. But listen, that's going to be difficult when Antonio Cholak's going goal. So I think right now he needs to pick and choose his moments to play. And I said I think Cholak will play, but I do understand the reasoning why people are calling for Alfredo Morelos in this game.
I guess he has to make those moments count then, you know.
Yeah, for sure,
like that, coming on at the weekend, scoring, you see his celebration. He felt it was a bit of a statement, you know, that he was back. And I
actually thought he was decent in the Napoli game. I don't think he was brilliant. I don't think it was his best European performance, but I thought the job that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst wanted him to do in that game, like we said, get his team up the park, link his teammates into play, I thought he'd done that pretty well for the period he was on the pitch.
We nearly scored after 30 seconds, yeah, if you remember, the Napoli game.
If that was Cholak, though, that's what people are going to say.
Exactly. If we are looking at the weekend for, you know, maybe clues and hints and ideas going forward, Gary, what did you make of seeing Ben Davis from the start for, I think, only the second time off at half time? Is that him then rested and he plays again tomorrow, I assume, James Sands suspended?
I'm hoping so, because even when Sands came on, you seen it was a wee bit more shaky, almost get caught out himself, and I think that Ben Davies, he done what Connor Goldson's been doing for seasons now, but he looks to hit that long diagonal over to Kent in the left wing. You seen Davies do it for Matondo, and a goal came from it, so having those two, a right and a left-footed centre-back, to be able to do that, and I think that then up to our speed, because that's been our biggest issue since the start of the season, is he's looking to play out for the back, but they were making like 15 passes between Goldson and Sands, and back to McGregor, back to McLaughlin, then out to Sands, then out to Barisic, and then back again, and it slowed the game right down. The Dundee United game was a prime example. I actually left that game, even though we won, I actually left that game feeling lower than when I've left games when we've lost, because I just felt that it wasn't clicking, and it hadn't been clicking all season. Whereas on Saturday there, the tempo was great. We were on top of the game for the majority of it, and it was an actual performance where you actually took a bit of heart out of it. And it's definitely a good warm-up for tomorrow, and hopefully Ben Davies does play as a left centre-back.
Good man, Gary. Nice to hear from you. That was Gary in East Kilbride, 01419511025. Whether it is Cholak or anyone else, go and head over to at Clyde SSB, our Twitter feed. Check out the new Clyde One Super Scoreboard Team of the Week. Every Monday, one of the pundits will select their Team of the Week from the weekend's games. Now, after the worst performance of the season by a mile from any pundit the last time, we've somehow asked Mark Wilson back. So he picked his team. You can go and check it out, and I'm sure you'll have a wee argument about who should or shouldn't be in the team. It's all thanks to Clyde Built Home Improvements, and they're also giving you the chance to win a current or retro football kit of your choice. So go to Clyde1.com to enter.
Now, I saw this team earlier on. Now, who would you man of the weekend, Andy?
A man of the weekend? Stevie May.
Yeah, Stevie May not in the side. Oh. Ryan McGowan, every reporter I've read in the game, Ryan McGowan outstanding in central midfield. Not in the side. There's no suggestion of anywhere that St Johnson might have won at Dundee United at the weekend.
He's a Dundee United legend. Yeah, he's not going to acknowledge that game, is he?
Producer Callum, does he have a hand in these teams?
That's what this show needs, more conspiracy theories. I'm glad you're here. 01419511025 calls in now. What about you, Celtic fans? You've got an extra day to wait. How are you set up for Leipzig? What did you take away from the weekend? Get the calls in, we'll get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. I was going to say looking back on the weekend's action, because that's what we do on a Monday, but it's understandable. We're sort of looking forward as well. We've spoke a lot about Liverpool v Rangers tomorrow. Celtic fans, you wait until Wednesday to go to RB Leipzig. I was thinking that the Champions League this week is the best thing that's happened to you.
Yeah.
Because we've not really looked back at the game at Tynecastle. We'll do it at some point.
We haven't looked back in Motherwell losing at Celtic Park. I know, funny that, isn't it?
I think we're about to.
Are we saying producer Callum's team lose, your team lose, your team lose, and we're suddenly looking forward on a Monday?
I think we're about to. Don't you worry, because Scott is a Celtic fan on the line. What did you make of the weekend, Scott?
I don't think we played particularly well. Played well in patches. I don't think we played any great stretch of imagination anywhere near what we can do. I don't know what to put it, don't you, just now? Even Carl McGregor looked a wee bit off it, although he did okay. But I just think in general we're missing Cameron Carter-Vickers more than probably ever thought we would. But also probably Carl Stalfelt as well, to be fair, because they were part of the best defence last season. So I think we're missing more than we probably thought we would. Actually, more points about tonight, actually. On Saturday, when Carl McGregor got sent off, there was a sort of freeze frame of the game. When I got in it, I actually watched it back, and I went, I can't believe that. In the picture, we've got Stephen Welsh is over on the far side of the pitch. Then we've got Carl McGregor, who's basically where the centre-half should be. And then we've got Rio Tati, who's played the ball back to him. There's no sign of Greg Taylor. There's no sign of Morris Jentz. And there's no sign of Jura Jovanovic. So three of our back four are nowhere to be seen in the picture. And we're left with two midfield players and a centre-half over at right back. Now, last season we lost goals in Europe and we were open at times. If we're like that on Wednesday night, we might take a bit of a doing, because that was, in my opinion, at that stage of the game with 5-6 minutes to go, why is the two full-backs up the park and where's the other centre-half?
Just quickly on that, Scott, because how many Mondays do we spend debating refereeing decisions? By the sounds of it, do you have no complaints with Callum McGregor's red card?
Not at all, because if the boy even gets his head up, he's chipping Joe Hart, because Joe Hart's basically on the 18-yard line, and there's no danger he's catching that ball. If the guy's got any, he's got half a bit of ability, it's in the back of the net. So he's took one for the team. But he shouldn't have had to take one for the team, and that's what my question is. Who's telling the fullbacks to charge forward with 5 minutes to go and a game at home where you're winning 2-1 and you're not played particularly well in? That worries me. Mm. That was my point from Saturday.
Yeah, quickly then, any complaints about the red?
No. No.
None at all? None. What Stephen Welsh isn't getting there?
No.
No.
Well then.
Even if he's
the quickest red card debate of all time. Yeah.
Even if Stephen Welsh is slightly closer to the ball, you know, Scott quite rightly pointed out Joe Hart's out his goal. And the Motherwell player's getting to the ball first. So if that's not denying a clear goal scoring opportunity, I don't know what is.
Dermot Gallagher was in Sky again this morning, and he was asked about the two big red cards up here, Callum McGregor.
Was there another one?
And Cammy Devlin.
Oh right, I'll get to that one as well.
And he had that look as if to say, why are you even asking me about these decisions?
Right, what about the tactical point then? Fair play to Scott, he's not wanting to whinge about the decision. He's wanting to whinge about where on earth the Celtic players were and how it came about and why Callum McGregor had to take one for the team, because you could see that Callum McGregor was raging, Andy, yeah, but not with the referee, with the situation that he found himself in.
I do think he was more raging under the pass for Rio Hatate. I take Scott's point, obviously the time of the game and the positions that Celtic have took up in the field, but listen, it's the way Ange Postecoglou approaches the game. I think, you know, at that point when it's 2-1 and with 5 minutes to go, I think Ange Postecoglou is more worried about trying to get the third goal than conceding another one. And I think if you freeze frame, like Scott referenced, and you take still pictures sometimes, I'm not a big fan of it, especially when the ball turns over that quickly in transition. But I do agree with what he says in terms of Cameron Carter-Vickers being a massive miss. I think him, Callum McGregor, Jota, I think that's the three players where Celtic don't really quite have that like for like. I think they've got a lot of great depth throughout the squad, but I think the three of them for me are big, big players.
And Scott mentioned Starfield as well. When Celtic won the league, it was Carter Vickers and Starfield every week. Now, I don't care who you are, if you lose your two central defenders, it unsettles the team. The team was unsettled at St Mirren. Curtis Mayne looked like Erling Haaland for a period of time in that game. He was terrorising Jentz and Welsh. Motherwell didn't quite get to, you know, that level at the weekend, but you can bet your bottom dollar Timo Werner and Christopher Nkunku, both of whom scored two for RB Leipzig at the weekend, will be looking to trouble that Celtic defence. And I think Ange Postecoglou, I don't think Stanfield's going to make it. He'll be desperate to get Carter Vickers back into the centre of that defence.
So is the last two games dented the confidence for you, Scott? Because even on match day one, it was largely positive because Celtic did well, and it was Real Madrid, and the Celtic fans came away feeling good about it. Shakhtar clearly should have won the game, a point away from home. Everything again was optimistic. But now you're on ahead of this game, talking about feeling the worst, not feeling the worst, but thinking it could be a really tough night if Celtic play like that. Has the confidence been dented in the back of those two games for you?
I'm sorry, but I never come away from any game that Celtic lose feeling quite happy about it. Doesn't matter, I don't care who we're playing. I don't like to see my team lose. So get beat 3-0 by Real Madrid is just as sore as getting beaten 2-0 by St. Mirren. Doesn't make a difference. I'm just concerned that I thought Ange would have tailored the European style a wee bit. And against Real Madrid, I thought, you know what, once you went to 2-0, you could see the heads going down and the guys going, well, it's a long way back to here. I can understand that, because if you look through our team, take Joe Hart out of it and probably Callum, it's a very young team. If you look right along the team, probably Greg Taylor's the next most experienced. The rest of the guys haven't really played. I think we had 7 debutants in the Champions League that night. So it was always going to be a hard ask against the champions of Europe. I just think that we're missing Cameron Carter-Vickers. As you said, he brings a sort of stability and a sort of sense of calmness. You watch him, he never gets flustered. He very rarely loses the ball. And if every back four's got to have a focal point, in my opinion, and I think Cameron Carter-Vickers is your focal point, I think the full-backs take the lead for him, as does Carstalfer. I just think we're missing him more than that probably we thought we would, thinking that Jens would come in and do a job, and we thought that maybe Stephen Bell should do a job. But I think we missed a trick before the transfer window shut. I would have liked to have seen somebody with a bit of experience for Europe. But more of a back, I think we missed out big time.
I mean, Roger, I guess in football you become a victim of your own success to a point. I can understand there'll be Celtic fans out there saying, hold on, we won at the weekend. Motherwell actually didn't really create much because we were our own undoing with the goal, and we're still top of the league. But the performance levels were on the ceiling until the St Mirren game, and I wonder if that's now, that's obviously what's fresh in the memory. Where are Celtic confidence wise or performance level wise, I should say, Wednesday.
Confidence wise, they'll be fine, because two of the best performances have been in Europe. You know, for an hour against Real Madrid, and this is Real Madrid we're talking about, European champions, best team in the world, probably. Celtic were really good for an hour. In Warsaw against Shakhtar Donetsk, they should have won the game. They should have won the game comfortably had they taken their chances. So the performances have been good. They can be confident going to Leipzig that, you know, if they reach that level of performance, they will trouble Leipzig at times. But as you see, two of the poorer performances, St Mirren and Motherwell, have come since
back to back.
Yeah, back to back.
Do you think they have to get a result Wednesday?
I think they can qualify with by getting the better of Leipzig and Donetsk over the two games. So they've drawn away to Donetsk. If they draw away to Leipzig, then they'll feel confident they can beat them both at Celtic Park and go through with Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm with that, but I do feel as if they have to get something Wednesday, and I think there's an opportunity there. Like Roger said, quite rightly, I think they've performed well. I thought the Shakhtar game, to be honest, I thought they were excellent. How they didn't win the game, I'm not too sure, but results are what gets you through in the group, and I feel as if they need one on Wednesday.
They can score goals. I'm with Scott. The one worry for me would be if it's Welsh and Jens against Werner and Nkunku.
Thank you, Scott. That takes us nicely up to that time of the evening.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A new week, a clean slate on Beat the Pundit. Oh, the end of last week was magnificent, though. I love nothing more than seeing Marvin Bartley lose and lose his head in the process. And that's what happened. So we'll see what these two can do tonight. You are in the presence of Beat the Pundit royalty. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7, so be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025. It is Twitter at Clyde SSB. And get in touch. We're halfway through the show, so plenty of time left to either look back on the weekend. Andy Halliday's been let off the hook, something terrible, because everyone wants to talk about the Champions League, and we've barely covered the big talking points from Tynecastle. We'll get them before long. But still, Rangers fans tomorrow, didn't necessarily plan it, but all you Rangers fans keep phoning in and saying Alfredo Morelos should play tomorrow, maybe a bit surprising. Anyone out there want to defend Antonio Colak's place at Celtic? Fans, what about the weekend? We had a fan on just before the news expressing a little bit of concern, suggesting if Celtic play the way they did against Motherwell, against Leipzig, he would be worried, a bit worried about the defensive issues. So pick up that phone and let us know. And anything else you've got, 0141 951 1025, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it's Beat the Pundit time. Robert is in Irvine. How's it going, Robert?
Not bad. How's yourself, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. Have you ever played before?
I have not.
Right, okay. I mean, look, you know what you're getting into tonight, yeah? Johanna's sort of unbeatable, almost. It has happened. And Andy Haldy's had these moments. You have lost, though, this season, haven't you, on the tiebreaker?
Yeah.
So I take it you'd rather face Halliday. Is he still a level below Hannah?
Definitely Halliday. Roger Hannah's too good.
Know your place, Halliday. You might have been top of the table last year. Or were you joint? I can't remember how it worked. But anyway, at heads it will be Roger Hannah minus one, and tails it will be Andy Halliday. Roger, you've not played in ages.
No.
It's tails again.
Oh, wow. It's tails again. Build me up to play.
Absolutely not. So we'll give Andy some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he can't hear what's going on in the studio. Robert, it's very simple. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay.
Right, top man then. 30 seconds going on the clock right now. And your time starts now. Name either English side Celtic faced during their 2003 UEFA Cup run.
Oh, pass.
Which club did Dado Perso leave to join Rangers in 2004?
Monaco.
How many players were sent off in the Scottish Premiership over the weekend?
Two.
Who did Livingston beat in the final of the 2004 Scottish League Cup?
Oh, St Johnstone.
What Scottish Premiership club does Ryan McGowan currently play for?
Motherwell.
Which Championship side did Chris Doolan end his career with?
Dundee.
Okay, let's bring Andy back. Andy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Name either English side Celtic faced during their 2003 UEFA Cup run.
Blackburn.
Which club did Dado Perso leave to join Rangers in 2004?
Monaco.
How many players were sent off in the Scottish Premiership this weekend?
Three.
Who did Livingston beat in the final of the 2004 Scottish League Cup?
Hibs.
Which Scottish Premiership club does Ryan McGowan play for?
St Johnstone.
Which current Scottish Championship side did Chris Doolan end his career with?
Partick Thistle.
Name any club Gary Bowyer managed before becoming Dundee manager.
Gary Bowyer. Birmingham.
Okay. Robert, how do you think it went?
I had a shocker.
That's never good. That's never what you want to hear, Robert, honestly. Look at Andy Halliday already, Robert. He's got his headphones off and he's leaning over to Roger Hannah looking for a bit of guidance. Just patience. Right, we can get to it, man. Name either side, English side that Celtic faced during their 2003 UEFA Cup run. You had the choice of Liverpool or Blackburn, so I'm afraid it's a tough start, Robert. He goes 1-0 up. You did know Dado Perso came from Monaco, but so did Andy, 2-1. McGregor, Devlin and Ayunga sent off at the weekend. It was 3, so 3-1 Andy Halliday. Livingston beat Hibs in 2004, 4-1 Andy Halliday. Do you see where this is heading, Robert?
That's a real doing here.
Ryan McGowan plays for St Johnstone, 5-1 Andy Halliday. But he is human. At this point, I was already planning the old give you the 10 questions, see how you get. Chris Doolan, although he's a Thistle legend, ended at
Arbroath,
a brief spell. So, and you didn't get the last one either.
That's Lee Bowyer.
Yeah, Blackburn, Blackpool or Bradford or Salford. It was Gary Bowyer. So you weren't perfect. 1, 2, 3, 4, a 5 for Andy Halliday. And I'm afraid, whisper at Robert in Irvine, it was only a 1, hard lines.
Right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Good man, that was Robert in Irvine. Another victory.
Yeah, good, I felt good.
Easy one. We'll need to get better as the week goes on. Dylan Wilson will be there for the taking.
Please tell me they're doing the big shift again tomorrow.
Yes, until 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Oh. Absolutely, looking forward to that. A bit worried about him though, after the big medical emergency. Do you hear about this?
Mouth ulcer.
Yeah, so we had a bit of a night out on Friday, a dinner. Now, don't worry, your invite wasn't lost in the post. We just anticipated that you... Well, I was going to say you were busy Saturday lunchtime, but
You anticipated well.
It was Saturday late afternoon before you became busy. So there we knew you wouldn't be able to make it. But Gordon pulled out with mouth ulcers at the last moment. So
not him to put out an event.
I know. So we'll need to make sure he's alright for tomorrow. I'll be keeping an eye on him. I wonder how many tubes of Bongella he's got through since Saturday. But don't worry, I'm sure he'll be here. 01419511025. Let's speak to Barry, who's a Celtic fan. How do you look back on the weekend's game, Barry?
Probably wasn't Celtic's best performance, but I don't think it was calamitous, is what Hugh said, unconvincing. I wouldn't go that far. I think Celtic still created chances. We hit the post, we hit the bar. Kyogo had a chance again. Abada had a good chance. I think it's stretching a wee bit far when Hugh said it was unconvincing.
Yeah, these things are always easy to spin, aren't they, Roger? Because I don't think you could make a case for Motherwell winning the game or any of the likes. I suppose you go back to what you said earlier. It's about Celtic's own level here. They've almost got themselves to blame. If you win 2-1 and your captain has to make a last gasp challenging it sent off late in the game, some people will use the word unconvincing. Barry thinks that's unfair.
I'll draw a comparison. Rangers 2, Dundee United 1. A couple of weeks earlier, you know, there were Rangers supporters phoning the show to say it was unconvincing.
Worse than that, yeah. Slaughtered it.
Yeah, so I think when the two clubs, you know, I'm not going to say stumble over the line, because, you know, Celtic won the game, and as you say, you know, even you as a Motherwell supporter aren't trying to, you know, build a case for Motherwell winning the game and anything, but because the way the game finished, because of Callum McGregor's red card, because Ross Tierney had a glimpse of goal, and perhaps, you know, some people could say, oh well, if it got through, mm-hmm. it would have been 2-2 and Callum's taking one for the team.
I mean, that's what happened in my head after the show on Saturday night.
You know, Hugh said unconvincing. What I'll say is, it isn't as convincing as some that have gone before it.
Well, do you know why that comes? Because when you've got a 23 goal difference in 8 games, you've set a pretty high standard. I think Celtic have been used to scoring 3-4 goals a game every domestic game.
Nine
goals a game, aye, sometimes. So, you know, when you win by a goal at home and I get with 10 men, you know, sometimes it might have that feel unconvincing, but when you watch the game, I think Celtic had more than enough chances. I think Kyogo could have had a hat-trick. Hatate strikes one off the post, Abada, as Barry pointed out, with the rebound. So they had opportunities to make it more convincing, but yeah, it's I think Motherwell went with a game plan to frustrate, and that's probably what they've done.
So no concerns then, Barry. You know, you're viewing St Mirren as a one-off, and you know, on Saturday was nothing like that, and you're feeling as optimistic about the Champions League as you were in previous weeks.
Pretty confident. I mean, obviously Celtic are missing their two centre backs, and that's, you know, maybe why we're looking a wee bit shaky with the ball coming out in the box and stuff. Like, I can maybe see you saying, oh, Celtic didn't look as strong, but sorry, my main point was, I wanted to get, did the panel think that I think Celtic should have had a penalty? Abada crossed the ball. I know he's only probably 2 yards away, but the Motherwell player's hand's out. It's out with his silhouette. I'm just wondering, do you think if that's on VAR, that's given, brought back and given as a penalty?
Good question, Andy.
I think my reply is, the camera angle I seen wasn't very convincing. If it did strike Ricky Lamy's arm, I think it is a penalty, because it's a penalty that I've been seen given all over the place for the last 18 months. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But your question is, if VAR was in, would it be overturned? I think it would.
I've given up trying to predict what VAR would or wouldn't do, Roger.
I was just about to say that very same thing. I think the ball strikes Ricky Lamy. You're right, Andy. I don't think any of the camera angles were totally convincing. You can see an argument for it being a penalty, but with some of the decisions we've seen, both given and not given for handballs in the box, this type of thing, Barry, is going to be the most contentious type of VAR decision, I think.
You're pretty convinced though, Barry. You felt the hand was I mean, the arm probably wasn't out, is that fair? But you think the hand, if that makes any sense?
I think the hand's in an unnatural position, because when it struck him, it's more or less hit him at the side of his head, and his hand's at the side of his head. Well, for what I can see through my green tinted specs, I suppose. But you know, I just think it as a penalty. I mean, could there be a case for Welsh being getting round the back? I don't I don't really think so. The red was probably right. But I just think, I think under VAR, I think that's a penalty.
Very possibly, Roger. Like we said, I can think of so many penalties, even if we narrow it down to handball, ones that you think are going to get given that don't, and vice versa. Yeah, I mean, even from this season, you think of Conor Goldson in Europe.
Yeah, that's the one that immediately stood out. Yeah.
And again, we're always really tough on our refs, and sometimes they deserve it. But we've had so much European football this season for our clubs, as you well know, Andy, and we've seen a lot of international football recently, and I've seen loads and loads of terrible refereeing decisions with and without VAR.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'll give you a for instance. I actually thought Scotland's first goal in the home game against Ukraine was a foul. I thought John McGinn fouled the play.
Nonsense.
And it goes, you know, it does go to VAR.
How dare you?
And it's,
but you know that as well.
It's waved on. I was delighted. I was delighted it was waved on, but it was waved on. So some of these decisions, they do baffle. And I don't think you need to wait too long for VAR to come in.
Yeah.
Talk about refs. We slag them. They actually had a good weekend because I thought Callum McGregor was a red. I thought Cammy Devlin was a red. I thought Jonah Younger was a red. He did well to spot it, I have to say as well, the speed that Livingston shot came in. So
yeah, I like that one, because I must admit, even watching the highlights, I wasn't entirely sure.
Yeah,
it was a bit quick for me to see that it hit his,
yeah, and
his hand.
I was up in Dingwall,
crack and
save. Alan,
oh, that's great. Yeah,
crack and save, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought Alan Muir had a good game at the Hibs game as well.
Yeah, Aberdeen's a penalty as well, to be fair.
Yeah,
it's a penalty.
Yep.
Yeah, good weekend for the refs.
Well, funnily enough, right on that, Techno Viking says, maybe I've missed it, but after Jim Goodwin called Porteous a cheat, I assume he's come out and said the same about his own player diving to win a penalty against Kilmarnock.
Oh, I think that's a penalty.
So you're not all convinced.
Even Derek McInnes said he thought it was a penalty.
Techno Viking, come on, put these two right. Barry, so going into Wednesday, how important is it that at least Cameron Carter-Vickers makes it?
I suppose I'd prefer to have him in next to Jens, just for the fact that he's got a wee bit more European experience over Welsh. I think, you know, he is a kind of, he's one of the first on the team sheet, isn't he? When he does play, really important centre back, good in there as well. So yeah, I think it'll be a massive boost if we can get him fit. You know. I'm hoping we can get a draw over in Germany. A draw would be, I'd bite your hand off for a draw right now. I just hope that Celtic can do it. But I think they've got more than enough talent up front and in midfield to trouble Leipzig.
I always think, Roger, there's that. I'm not saying it's luck as such, but the way the fixtures can fall, with hindsight, you wanted to face Leipzig in match day one or two.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
But now they've got a new manager, so are they getting the new manager bound, so they're getting their act together a bit. They won 4-0, as you say, at the weekend. There was doubles for Werner and Nkunku. They did lose 3-0 to Mönchengladbach the week before, but they also beat Dortmund 3-0 just before that. So I'm not saying you can just make any excuse about on Celtic's behalf, but they seem a much better team now than they were even a month ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Shakhtar Donetsk, if you remember, went there and won 4-1, and that did for the previous manager, Tedesco, and that's what got Marco Rossa the job. I think, in a strange way, Gordon, they're a bit like Celtic. I think they are better going forward than they are at the back. You see that, you know, 3 against Dortmund, 4 against, was it Bochum at the weekend? They always look as if they've got a goal in them, but so does Celtic. And I think it could be an exciting game in Germany on Wednesday evening, because you would find wherever Celtic go, you would fancy them to score. The way Ange sets them out, you would fancy them to cause problems for the opposing defence. The question mark you have going to this away game is whether or not they can keep that back door closed.
Probably as well not even trying to make sense of the results, even since the start of September, Andy. Battered 4-0 by Frankfurt, who Rangers fans would say not brilliant, not no world beaters. Battered 4-1 by Shakhtar, who Celtic played off the park. And then, like we say, it starts to flip, and they're beating Dortmund 3-0, and they're beating Bochum 4-0. I think they did all right in the Bernabeu as well. Was it not 10 minutes to go? I think it was 0-0. So
yeah,
interesting challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You cast your mind back to even the game Rangers played them in the semi-final last year at home. I didn't think Leipzig were great. Deserved to win the game, but wasn't it the most convincing 1-0 win I've ever seen? Obviously at Ibrox, Rangers managed to turn them over. So for me, I agree with Roger. I think there's goals in the game, and I actually do fancy Celtic to get a result. If they perform the way they did against Real Madrid and Shakhtar, they could win the game, but I fancy a draw. That's my early prediction for that one.
James Graham has sent a tweet in at Clyde SSB. He says, Gordon, can you ask the panel about Joe Hart feigning a head injury to get the game stopped when he made a mess of a cross? Now, I have seen quite a lot of people sharing the clip of Joe Hart over the weekend. Roger, is he all right? Was that a sore blow to the head, or was he trying to gain some sort of advantage?
I don't know what was going through his head at the time.
Barry Maguire's arm.
Was it not a Solholm?
Perhaps.
I think it was Sondre Solholm Johansson. It seemed to, it actually looked sort of worrying for a moment or two when he first went down, and he seemed to need treatment. And then you see the TV replays, it didn't look quite as worrying as it did at the time. But I'm sure he'll be fit to keep goal in Germany on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think so. Just I think when you see the initial reaction, I think the AKO, didn't you? You see that the old starfish, he's got the arms outstretched. But when you see the replay, I think he was trying to win his team a wee fielder.
Joe Hart.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's why you're in the tabloid business. I've seen, or maybe this is just in the circles I move in, lots of Motherwell fans very upset about this and saying, will this be, you know, would it be looked at and all that sort of stuff for a diet? But you know, he didn't gain anything from it.
You don't look at
the only dives that get looked at are if you win a penalty or someone gets sent off. You're not just going to you don't randomly pluck incidents like that from a game.
Motherwell fans need to look forward, Gordon. You're making us look forward tonight, and I don't think that, you know, they want to look about 1 point out of 12 for Motherwell down below St Johnstone into 9th. They go to Dingwall tomorrow night, and then after that is it Hearts, Hibs, Rangers, Celtic again, and Aberdeen. Difficult run of fixtures.
I think we're a few weeks before we are. 3 weeks before Motherwell. I think Motherwell's your last game before the World Cup break, no?
That's what happens though when you know.
But I like the thought of continuing to look forward. I like that, Roger. Let's keep that up.
I can tell you what's not happening after the break, and it's that.
Oh.
We're going to need to get you at some point. We'll get Andy Halliday's full and extensive thoughts on the game at Tynecastle, and a full time teaser coming next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday put their brains together and try and come up with the answers to the full time teaser. Really good question, this. Van Man Glasgow. Look, there are 12 answers, but we won't spend too long on it because we've got a lot of talking points. We'll just skip through as quick as we can. Can you name 12 English league managers who've played in Scotland at some point in their career? So there are 12 managers in England who've played in Scotland at some point in their career. Yep.
David Moyes.
Yes. Played for Celtic and Inverness, wasn't it? Well, I played for more than that.
Yeah, played for more.
Ackies.
Wait, sorry. David Moyes.
Yep.
English league managers.
No, as in like they're managers in England. They don't have to be English.
Oh, right, okay. Right, I get you.
Alec Neil.
Yep.
Alec Neil, yeah. Great shout.
Tony Mowbray.
Yep.
Tell you what, you might just take it away.
Andy,
Roger,
would you like to give us one guess?
I was thrown for Moyes.
So any managers in England that have played up here?
Not just now. Coming to me now.
Oh, there is.
Well, I know there is.
It must be coming to you. It must be. Put him one more out of his misery, Roger.
Gerard. Look at you checking your answers. I'll get it.
Any more, Roger?
In a minute.
Oh, right. Okay, you're out as well. That's fine. 0141 951 1025.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Yes, there we go. Okay, we'll leave it there. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com, by the way, if you want to send your answers in. Send your questions in, sorry. That's the whole point of it. You come up with the questions, and we try and get the guys to come up with the answers. So let's do that if we can. Right. Saturday, Andy Halliday.
Yes.
Talk to us. Come on. What's the Andy Halliday verdict on the game at the weekend?
Rangers deserve to win. Having watched analysis back yesterday, I actually thought, which probably might surprise a few after some of the calls I've heard tonight, I thought we were well in the game in the first half an hour. I thought there was just moments that Rangers done better than us. Quite often it was a final pass. Obviously the final finish goes without saying. But I thought we had some joy. Like I said, final pass letting us down. But even before the sending off, I think when you go 2-0 down, a team of Rangers quality, you've got a mountain to climb. But I don't think there's any doubt. You know, once you go down to 10 men, it's going to be a long sort of 50 minutes after that. You know, we get in at half time, still wanted to try and have a go and get back into the game. Went in a 4-3-2 formation, which is adventurous, still try to press high. but ultimately Rangers' quality sort of shone through in the last sort of 15 minutes. When they get the third, then obviously it's sort of damage limitation after that. So certainly disappointed for us. When you beforehand going into the game that you win it, you go levelling points with Rangers. So you know the aim certainly was to go and win the game, but I thought Rangers were the better team on the day.
Any complaints about the red card?
No, not at all.
In a word, what's the reaction like to that then when something like that happens? Does Cammy Devlin go and hold his hands up? Or
Yeah, simple as that. Listen, I've been there myself. I've been sent off a couple of times in my career. You know, when you've made a mistake, you can't be too overly harsh on it. You know, I think he's a boy that plays on the edge. He always has done. And, you know, I've commented on the likes when it's been, you know, Ryan Portis in the media for it, or Alfredo Morelos in the media for it. And you never want to take that competitive fire away from someone, but he's young. I think there's no doubt about it. He'll certainly learn from that experience that he's had at the weekend there. And just important that he sort of could curtail that aggression in the right way.
Something not right, Roger Hannah. Like, no one's really complaining about Callum McGregor's red card. No one's complaining about Cammy Devlin's red card. Have we found rare agreement in this show on a Monday night?
Write it down. 1st of October 2022, mm-hmm. The weekend the refs got it right.
Yeah. Did the ref get the decision right to rule out another goal for Rangers?
No, he didn't. It's amazing actually. If the game finishes 0-0, that's all we'd be talking about between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock tonight. Craig Gordon isn't getting to the ball. His fingertips got to it. He's not claiming the ball. He bumped into Rabbi Matondo. He initiated the contact for me. Scott Arfield knocks the ball into the net. It should have been a goal for Rangers. And because Rangers have won 4-0, it really doesn't become a talking point, but it might well have been.
How tough is it at the moment, Andy, you know, defensively with so many absentees? The camera kept panning to Craig Halkett, who's sitting there. You've even high profile defensive summer signings that are out injured.
Yeah, I think if you look at the first game of the season, we obviously start the game with a back three, which is a formation that we've played, you know, 85% of the times that I've been at the football club. And the back three was, you know, Kai Rowles, Stephen Kings in the middle, Craig Halkett in the right. All three of them have basically missed the majority of the season so far. So I think it's difficult when you've got a lot of, you know, missing bodies in the one area of the pitch. Liam Boyce is obviously another one. He's been the top goal scorer at the club for the last three seasons. But listen, you can't make any excuses with injuries. I think it's going to happen to every club throughout the season. I've said from the start that I feel as if we've got more than enough quality and depth within the squad to handle that, but right now we're not. You know, in terms of our defensive record last year was a big reason why we had so much success. So, you know, we have to get back to that pretty quick.
Fiorentina are hopeless anyway. Struggled again at the weekend. You'll be alright.
Listen, it's a massive game, massive occasion, massive opportunity for us as well. I think anyone looking at the sort of group at the start never really gave us much of a chance. I think we, you know, always had the hope that we can go and surprise a few. Listen, Riga was obviously massive. The first time the club had won away from home in Europe in 18 years, so it's gave us a position to obviously go and try and do something in the group. But, you know, I've said it with Rangers, I've said it with Celtic, they both needed results this week. We're no different, so I think that's the same on Thursday. It's a huge occasion that we're all looking forward to.
And the number of people who are sending me messages on Twitter asking me to ask you for tickets for the away game in Florence. Oof. Can we just pass them all on, or?
Oh, they're like, we'll gold try and dust. They're like gold dust.
Filter them out.
We'll need to go elsewhere.
Right, we'll see how we get on. Let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan on the line. What's your take on tomorrow after on the back of that win at the weekend, Graham?
Gents, hi, good evening. I mean, obviously we looked the best that we have done this season so far, but I'm actually going to go a bit controversial and say I would play both Colak and Morelos tomorrow night. I would actually play Morelos behind Colak in a number 10 role and go narrow against Liverpool rather than going wide like we traditionally do. I would keep Kent on the left if there is an option. If Trent Alexander's up the field, then obviously Kent's the outball. But I think we could get at them through the middle with you know, Morelos back to goal, taking the ball from the midfield. I'd be looking at Kamara, Davis and Lundstrom in the middle of the park. So it can be defensive if need be, but Davis is good at breaking forward and kind of linking between midfield and forward. So I would sacrifice Matondo or right on the right and look at doing Morelos to the middle. Give it a try. We're halfway through the Champions League, no points on the board. Let's give it a go.
That's a big ask, Graham. That's a trial and error period, that, if you're playing someone in a position that they've never played in before. I think that's, listen, the two up front playing them both has been something that's been debated for a number of weeks now. There's maybe a case for an argument, certainly domestically, but I think in a game that, you know, you're probably not going to have much in terms of possession, you certainly need discipline certainly down the spine of the squad anyway. And I think the debate is, what can it be Morelos? It sort of gets you up the pitch and you know he's a bit of pressure on the back four, but the two of them, for me personally, I don't think that would work.
You get the urge to put them in, Roger. Just like, understand the, you know, the desire, but in terms of the logistics or how you make it work, I've heard all sorts. I've heard, you know, well, change of formation completely, play them both as a two up front. You've heard, you know, if Rangers stick with their current formation, can one of them do that right-sided thing? Because Rangers don't always have a traditional right-sided player in there anyway. This might be the first I've heard of Morelos as a so-called number 10. They tend to be kind of crafty, creative types. I don't know, is that Morelos' strength?
We've not seen it from either Steven Gerrard or Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. The closest you got to it was in the occasions that Kamar Roof was coming in off the right. And I noticed he was pictured back at training today as well, Gordon. So that's maybe something for down the line. If you're going to try two up top with, you know, one off the other, don't mind trying it. But if you're going to try maybe Dundee in the League Cup at Ibrox in a couple of weeks, I don't think Liverpool away at Anfield in the Champions League is a night for experimentation.
But you don't see it like that, Graham. You see it like a last throw of the dice, if you like, because two heavy defeats already in the Champions League.
I think it would go against what Liverpool's expecting for a start, and it would give us the best chance of getting some firepower. I think that using Morelos, he could drift to the right if, for example, Tsimikas is up the field, which we expect. Both of their fullbacks to be up the field. So obviously Davis and Goldson could provide these cross balls over to Kent and Morelos if they are wide. However, I think that, you know, I've got a very, very good friend of mine who is a Liverpool diehard, and all he talks about is the midfield in Liverpool and how weak it is through the middle, and you can get at their back line very, very easily. And I just think that the height that they've got as their centre halves going wide perhaps isn't the option to put it in from the wide areas, but play at their feet, go for them, run at them through the middle of the park, and see how the two guys play off each other. I'm sure they do stuff like this in training, even though we haven't seen it in games. I'm sure that they have played together as a striking force in some way. But I think Morelos' ability to have his back to goal, facing the midfield, turning the ball out either to Kent on the right, sorry, on the left, or round the corner to Colak if he's making a run off him, I think it could happen. I think it's just because we've never seen it before, I think they've got the strength to do it.
Graham, it is a passionate case. You've not won these two over, but you're certainly putting the case forward. One that I'm interested in, though, Andy, is Graham sort of mentions Glenn Kamara has been part of his midfield. Where is Glenn Kamara at the moment? It doesn't seem to be at the forefront of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's plans.
I can't actually think. When was the last time Glenn Kamara played? When was the last time he gave a nod? Roger, you'll know better than me.
Oh, was there not a game he got taken off at half time then? I'm trying to think. Was it Celtic Park?
He did come. No, but he came into one after that,
well,
didn't he?
Listen, as Gordon does his research on it for us, Glenn Kamara has been that sort of player that's always been given the nod when it is Europe.
No, you're right, to be fair. Came on last 10 against Napoli.
Yeah, I can't remember actually the last time he played.
Came on.
Because there was talk of
Ajax. Started Ajax.
There was talk of him deadline day potentially leaving, and I think Ajax was the game straight after the deadline. Am I right? And he was straight in the starting lineup, which was maybe a bit of a surprise at the time. But as I said, he's always quite often been the one that's been given the nod in Europe for his ability in tight areas to sort of keep pressure when you've been under a bit of pressure. But
I mean, was he in the squad at the weekend, Roger? Don't know if he was.
No, I'm not sure that he was.
He obviously had more personal stuff to deal with when he was away. You know, with the Finland national team as well. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe Andrew could tell us if there was an update on where he is or the likelihood that he plays.
I just think we should go with the same team. I said it earlier on, it was a very good performance against Hearts. Hearts are a decent side. You know, previous results will show you. You know, third place by a country mile last season. Took Rangers to extra time in the Scottish Cup final. They're in Europe. They've qualified for the group stages of the Conference League. Great win in Riga. If they get a better Fiorentina and this home and away in the next, you know, week or 10 days, they've a very good chance of getting through this group. So for anyone to go to Tynecastle and win by 4-0 is a good performance.
I think the two in the base and the midfield for me need to be disciplined. I don't think Glenn Kamara is quite that type of player. And Graham's talking about experimenting people in number 10 positions. I think Glenn Kamara has been experimenting in number 10. The last time he done it was at Celtic Park. For me, it didn't work. So no, I don't think he'll be in the starting lineup.
Right, we're about to be joined by a special guest on the phone, so let's say goodbye to Graham and Belsell and quickly ask you to, very quickly, any more on this teaser? Managers in England who've played in Scotland at some point in their career?
Newly appointed Huddersfield manager, Mark Fodding.
Ah, it's a sneaky one, that. Yep, well done.
And yeah. I know now why he was doing his own. Oh, sorry, have you got that?
No, please.
I was really keen to hear. I was really keen to hear the end of the sentence.
No, please give it.
It's your mate,
Scott Brown.
Oh, right.
Oh, so there's one of my mates somewhere. Is it one of these two?
We'll maybe get to that a bit later on.
No, because he's been sacked.
Has he?
Yeah, Shota.
Shota Avaladze sacked.
Sacked on Friday.
Where have you been this weekend?
Your other mate.
The other one's my mate.
Who?
Russell Martin.
He's there as well.
Yeah.
There's another mate of yours. We'll leave it though. We'll get it before the end of the show. Right. I did say we've got a special guest on the phone. It is a massive week coming up for Scotland women's national team. Playoff time ahead of the Women's World Cup. Austria, first of all, and then hopefully Ireland thereafter. Lucy Graham, Scotland International, joins us on the phones. Lucy, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm well, thank you. Nice to hear you about you. Right.
Massive week, as we said, coming up. How are you all feeling about it?
Yeah, we're good. No, we're all optimistic. We've trained, we've come off good results from our clubs, so we've started the week really well.
I suppose you've always known that, well, not always, sorry, but it's looked like it would be the playoffs for quite some time. You know, big build-up. How big an opportunity is this to get to the World Cup? But, there, you know, there's obviously still a lot of work to do. How do you balance that excitement of the prize at the end, but still the challenge that you've got to overcome?
I mean, it's massive. You know, it's never easy qualifying for a World Cup, and you know, Scotland never seemed to do it the easy way, so we find ourselves in a playoff position, and yeah, obviously it means everything. There's so much at stake, and you know, I feel like in the past, you know, we've really shown our potential, especially in these last few games that we've played, to you know, really, really compete against these top sides. So we've certainly earned our position in these kind of playoff games. So like I say, it's just how can we beat Austria to, you know, really take that next step and overcoming and reaching our goal, really.
Yeah, there's obviously plenty of experience of major tournaments in that squad. Is that beneficial? Do they tell those who've not been part of it, you know what it's like, and you know, how exciting it would be to get there?
Yeah, of course. I think obviously because they've had previous experience of World Cups and Euros as well, you know, just bitterly disappointed that we never made the Euros in the summer. So I think a lot of players have got a point to prove and something to settle there. Obviously, coming off that that Euros, you know, not being there and watching on the telly. So yeah, obviously we want to be a national team that, you know, gets into consecutive major tournaments and competing consistently. So yeah, obviously we're bitterly disappointed. So we don't want to make that mistake again.
Look, it's not ideal, right? We wish it wasn't this way, Lucy, but in a roundabout way, did England's success, do you think, did it still give Scotland women's national team a bit of a, I don't know, a shot in the arm or a, you know, all the spotlight that was on it, did it make you want to be part of it even more? You know, we saw the sort of impact that had even north of the border. Is that fair?
Yeah, listen, I mean, congratulations to England, you know what I mean? I think, even though watching it, I think they did deserve to win the competition from the start. So, like I say, you know, a lot of our players in this national team play in England in the WSL. So we're rubbing shoulders with these players week in, week out. And obviously we know how good they are, and we know how good we are because we can compete with them week in, week out. So, yeah, if anything, you know, it inspires us more because we know that we're more than capable of playing at that level.
And Lucy, it's Roger Hannah here. First of all, good luck for these playoff games. But last week we were all focused on the men's national team and that draw against Ukraine, the top of the Nations League, and we were trying to work out what that means in terms of qualification and playoffs and, you know, getting into the next Euros, etc. This playoff scenario for your team, it looks even more convoluted than that, isn't it?
Yeah, we've sat in countless meetings with flip charts and, you know, working out if this team does this, then this happens to us, and if we win this, then that happens to us. You know, it is very convoluted. I'm sure Pedro and his staff have got a bigger grip on it than some of the players have. I think we tend to just turn up and not really get involved. We just try and win football matches. But yeah, there's a lot of logistics going on behind the scenes, I think.
Explain to our listeners what, you know, it's not even as easy as you beat Austria at Hampden and then you play Ireland and you beat Ireland at Hampden and you're there. There could be a third playoff level.
Brilliant, Lucy. He's just putting you right on the spot here, isn't he?
Yeah, so if we beat Austria, then that's our first leg of the playoff. So then we then play Republic Ireland, and if we beat Republic Ireland, then I think depending on other results, so in the other playoffs like Wales and Switzerland, Depending on where they finish in that playoff state, then we might have to go and play another playoff in New Zealand.
I like how they make it nice and easy for it. You follow that, Andy?
Just about.
You got that written down. I mean, Lucy, look, I don't think always has to come back. You girls always have to face these questions about sort of growing the game and how important that is, when ultimately you're just trying to win a 90 minutes one game at a time. But I do wonder how important the Hampden factor has been for you all. You know, the decision taken, an important one to try and make that the home of the Scotland women's national team as well. We're sort of well underway with that. How has that been, and do you think that can help you going forward?
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. You know, we've obviously been asking and crying out for people to come and watch our games for quite a while. So gradually we're starting to see that growth and that consistency within the kind of record crowds and stuff. So you've heard about it along, you know, within the whole women's game about these record crowds. So it's obviously fantastic. We just want to play a brand of football that's, you know, entertaining and encourages fans to come along. Obviously, you want to be watching a winning team, so if we can do that, even more. And we want to be in major tournaments, so if we can get the fans to come along to these games, they'll be more inclined to kind of support us in the long run. So definitely, yeah, we want people to come along and watch us, and especially with being at glamorous Hampden. You know, it's the national stadium, so I don't see why people wouldn't want to come.
Exactly. Get along. You heard Lucy. Lucy, thanks for joining us. All the best.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming.
Good luck, Lucy.
Good luck to everyone involved. And as Lucy says, why not get your tickets? I know you can still get them off the Scottish FA game at Hampden Thursday night, Austria, then hopefully Ireland thereafter. And look, we'll deal with that third playoff if and when we get there. Why not get yourself some tickets and head down to that on Thursday. Right, we will get the rest of the answers to the full time teaser. We'll take a further look at the weekend's talking points after these. No.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a week we've got coming up. This is just the start of it. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, but there is plenty to get through this week. Of course, starting Liverpool Rangers tomorrow, RB Leipzig against Celtic on Wednesday. So let me update you with our plans.
Super Scoreboard European football coverage with MoyerandSweeney.com, the top team for your defence.
Right, we're doing the full extended show thing again. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL here from 6 till 11 tomorrow night to mark the occasion of Rangers heading to Anfield. And it is all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, our sponsors of European football coverage this season. And to mark that, they're giving you the chance to win a 60-inch Samsung 4K Ultra HD TV. Go to Clyde1.com to find out how to enter, and you'll find out a bit more about Moyer and Sweeney as well, offering you high quality representation for everyone throughout Scotland, whether it's a small matter or something more serious. They have got your back. So thanks again to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, and you will find us here until 11 o'clock tomorrow night as well. How are you two faring on this teaser? It's 12 managers in England currently who've played in Scotland at some point. Arteta, Moyes, Alex Neil, Russell Martin, Tony Mowbray, Scott Brown, Mark Fotheringham.
Well, it was under help from Roger, I must say. Joey Barton.
Ah, that's your old pal Joey, well done.
What about your former mother old pal Derek Adams?
Yes. Okay, three to get. We'll get them before the end of the show, I am sure. Are St Mirren the third force in Scottish football, Roger Hanna?
They're playing very well. I'm not too sure they're the third force in Scottish
league
football.
League table doesn't lie, as they say.
Four wins out of five. It's been remarkable for the speed of the transformation. It wasn't that long ago at the start of the season. I think they lost at home to Arbroath in the League Cup groups. They lost away to Airdrie of League One in the League Cup groups. Didn't get to the knockout stage. Started the season on a Sunday. Not lose at home to Motherwell, who had just sacked their manager, Graham Alexander. And it looked quite grim for Stephen Robinson for a little spell, but he has got some good players in. Keanu Backus, I know Ryan Strain didn't last long because of the injury at the weekend. I know a younger didn't see the game out because of the red card we discussed earlier on, but these guys have all made a positive impact. He's made some big decisions. He's left out his captain Joe Shaughnessy for the last few games. Not many managers do that, and he's been rewarded for the courage of his convictions. The win over Celtic is the highlight result and the highlight performance, but eking out a home win over Livingston with 10 men at the weekend is almost as commendable.
Yeah, flying. Four wins in the last five games. I look at St Mirren, one thing I will say, I think they've got four very good strikers at this level. Not only that, I think you couple that with a lot of energy in midfield. So I think anyone that's going to be playing St Mirren, they'll have to be someone near the best to get a result.
And you need things to go your way at times, Roger Hanna. It's the taking one for the team, handballs, preventing the goal going in, force Livy to score the penalty, and they don't, and in spectacular fashion as well. I'll be keen to get Marvin Bartley's thoughts next time we speak to him.
Yeah, I'll be keen to know whether Marvin Bartley's going to allow Sean Kelly to take the next penalty. We very much doubt it. And fair play to St Mirren, because down to 10 men, they lost that equaliser to Bruce Anderson, I think 3 or 4 minutes from the end, Gordon, and they could easily just have battened down the hatches and taken a 1-1 with 10 men, and they didn't. And it's a great story. You know, on Friday, Stephen Robinson was caning poor Alec Grieve for returning late from international duty with New Zealand. Sends him on with a quarter of an hour to go. Oh, I think he's forgiven him. Okay, and the lad gets the winner.
Right, between you and I, Roger, don't tell Andy this, but obviously Hibs are fourth, right?
Yeah.
Above Hearts at the moment. Big win for them. You witnessed it. Man of the moment, Ryan Porteous, as well.
An outstanding performance by Ryan Porteous. He looks to have grown considerably in the period of about 7 or 8 days, Gordon. And it's not too long ago. That was his first league game for Hibs since he was accused of cheating by the Aberdeen manager, Jim Goodwin, in that game at Easter Road. And we spoke after that in this show that Ryan Porteous needs to put that element of the game behind him, you know, the clashes with Alfredo Morelos, the clashes with Steven Gerrard, the rows with Jim Goodwin, the feuds every time he seems to take on Andy Halliday's Hearts and the Derbies, and just focus on the football. Because the last 7 days have shown, both in the blue of Scotland and that sort of very funny cabbage green, I think they call it, of Hibs, that he's a very good player when he puts his mind to it.
Big win for Aberdeen then, in the same token. You know, these two get lumped together as being our big clubs who dramatically underperformed last season. Not a happy return to Pittodrie for Derek McInnes.
It wasn't. Scored a lot of goals now, Aberdeen.
Mayovsky's a good signing, isn't he?
Mayovsky's a good signing. They've got good players round about him. Hayden Coulson took a lot of plaudits at the weekend for his performance. Anthony Stewart got his first goal for the club, I think. So at home, they look as if they'll carry a threat to teams. Be interested to see how they go at Tannadice at this bizarre 6 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night, the New Firm Derby. Because United, 2 points from 8 games so far, no wins. If they continue at this rate, they'll have 8 points with a split.
I mean, Liverpool Rangers is all very well and good, but the big game tomorrow is obviously Ross County against Motherwell in Dingwall, Andy. What are you making of the league as a whole now? You've had a good look at most of them. There is a bottom three of Ross County, Kilmarnock and Dundee United that are a little bit detached. Is it a bit early to look at that?
Yeah, I think it's a bit early. And in terms of the overall picture in terms of the league, played near enough everyone so far, and I've got to say I think a lot of teams have improved from last year. You know, I look at Aberdeen, look at Hibs, I look at Motherwell. Even though they finished top six last year, I think Motherwell are a better side this year, which I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear. But you know, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, it's probably the poorest 3-0 victory I've been a part of, and I've got to say that, because they've got a real identity under Stevie Hamill. I think they're playing some good stuff, so yeah, I think the league's improved.
Exciting week ahead for sure, domestically and definitely in Europe. You've got 3 more to get of managers who manage in England and have played in Scotland at some point. A couple of these are crackers. Roger Hanna.
What about Steve Evans?
Steve Evans, he's Scottish for a start. Stevenage he's at now, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say Gillingham, but you might be right.
I think we could be a bit out, my...
These two are my a, time a joke, well, these two are an absolute joke.
Beat the pundit, Andy Halliday gave me a clue. The Gary Bowyer question, you get Gary Bowyer and Lee Bowyer mixed up at Birmingham. The Birmingham manager is John Eustace, used to play at Dundee United.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was on trial at Rangers when I was there as well.
They don't actually sign but never play.
No, I don't think he ever signed, no.
No?
No.
I don't know. It was just, no, you're right. It was one of those that the manager, Mark Warburton, wasn't it?
Yeah, he
used to get
for
asked
a while, but...
every week about it. And we never really saw him. Last one, brittle.
Who's he the manager of?
Well, you'll get that. Peterborough.
Oh, I know, straight away. Did he play in Scotland? Can I can?
Yes. A very brief loan spell at Livy in the late 90s.
Oh, no, I couldn't have told you that.
4 games.
Never.
Right, anyway, thank you, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. What a night we've got in store tomorrow. A battle of Britain. Liverpool Rangers, they've never met before, and they lock horns at Anfield. Andrew McLean will be there, myself, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson in the studio until 11 p.m. Make sure you join us, and Callum Gallagher is up next.